God. Thank you for coming out. All right, you can fade that music all the way out now. Just get rid of that shit. What's happening? Let's open strong. All right. Okay. I'm thrilled to be here. It is my birthday. I will say that. Oh shit! What is happening? What is happening?
You were so mad at me for not introducing the show. You were fucking screaming at my wife. And you were like, where the fuck is Dave? Yeah. And flipping out.
I was doing that.
And your friend Dave was getting you birthday cupcakes.
Yeah, I'm beside myself. This is so out of character for you.
Oh no, trust me, this was the most horrifying, heart-wrenching thing I've done in years. This was like hugging my dad. It's fucking horrific. I hate everything about
this.
So
who do I thank? You or your wife for making...
No, my wife had nothing to do with this. This is all my call, so fuck off.
Okay, let's back up. Let's go from where you said you were getting me my birthday. I'm going to try it again. Do I get a do-over?
Yeah.
That's really sweet, man. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Happy birthday. All right, have a good show. I'm going to be in the... Probably be a little more fun, but I'll be over in the other show.
Dave Anthony, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so what's going on? I'm 51 years old. I don't acknowledge that on a day-to-day basis. Occasionally, I'll catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror and go, holy fuck, when did that happen? But aside from that, I don't see any difference between me now and when I was 25. So I'm in denial, not unlike my mother, who is 37. So, but let's talk more about what's going to happen tonight. First of all, I do want to say that I am, this weekend, my 15-year-old niece is in town, and she came with me last night. She's here tonight. It's my brother's daughter, and I don't have children, so it's very interesting for me to engage with a 15-year-old for 3 days. I think I'm doing a good job. I'm a little insecure, but I find the best treatment for insecurity around children is to buy them whatever they want. So that's what we're doing. I'm like, what does your shitty father not get you? Let me buy you that. If it's not alcohol or drugs, we're good. But if you need someone to do drugs or alcohol with safely, I might be up for it. I don't do them anymore, but if you want to have an adult just watching you and ruining your fucking high, I'm your guy. That would be so pathetic if I let my 15-year-old niece smoke weed in front of me and I just sat there going, how's it feel? Still pretty good, right? I mean, I used to do it a lot, but I don't do it anymore. But it's good. Let me just smell it a little bit. Is there a little left over there? That would not be a good message. So this panel is going to be ladies. And I don't want you to think like, I guess Maren's making up for the lack of ladies on a show. I have as many ladies as I can on my show. I have as many ladies as I can handle in my life, generally. But like it's I'm excited about it because like I find that as I get older and now that I'm 51 years old, I should probably learn more about women and how to behave appropriately around them. We could just start the show. We have a big show. You know what? But first, you know, I'm going to do something unorthodox because I feel like I have not given you what you deserve in an opening segment. I will take some questions right now. Get on a mic. Take a question. What? What's up?
Me?
Yeah, you. Hey.
Is this on?
Go ahead.
Hey, my name is Chunky B. I met you last year at this particular festival in a different...
You were a problem last year.
No. Actually, you and I got along.
Okay.
I want to say thank you for motivating me for my podcast.
Uh-huh.
I did 32 episodes since the last time I saw you.
Okay.
And a couple weeks ago, I got 13,000 hits.
Okay.
That's supposed to be applause.
Okay.
Okay, that's big for me. I don't want to put you on a spot right now because you motivated me to do a podcast, but I'm going to ask you right here in front of everybody, is there any chance you can get Aisha's phone number for me?
Oh, yeah, sure, man. Yeah, I'll do that. Just
I'll
come out
the
back
show.
To the show. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I'll
I'm
give you
Chunky
your phone
B with,
number.
I'm Chunky B with 1 degree of Chunky B at ChunkyB.tv. Mark, seriously.
No.
I adore everything you do. Thank you.
Thank you. And in response to everything you said, security. That was exciting. Maybe not a great idea to take questions.
Every now and then, there's a decision that's a no-brainer, and I can tell you from experience, it was a no-brainer to use Stamps.com when we started using it 11 years ago. Crazy. 11 years ago.
Now, more than a decade later, Stamps.com is better than ever. The Stamps.com mobile app is like having a post office in your pocket wherever you are. You can take care of things on the go, like mailing checks, sending invoices, legal documents, and more. Easily schedule package pickups through your Stamps.com dashboard. And when you need to take care of shipping, all you need is a computer and printer. Stamps.com even sends you a free scale. Make the same no-brainer decision that over 1 million other businesses have with Stamps.com. Sign up with the promo code WTF for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code WTF. My first guest is an amazing comedian. She's a close friend. She had a couple of shows on television that some people enjoyed. That's an honest intro. Whitney Cummings, ladies and gentlemen.
Birthday.
Thank you, Whitney. Hey, you're right in my face.
I know, this
How are
lot.
You?
How are you?
This is good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good.
Boundaries.
Do you think this isn't going well? This is going really well.
Oh, good, good. Thank
good.
You. That's
good.
All. Whitney Cummings, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye, everybody.
No, I think it's good.
I feel
think
like you panicked and asked someone to ask you a question, but it's just going phenomenally well.
Well, okay, so you've got the window into my psyche, and that's what happened. I panicked. I'm like, maybe we can improvise a little bit.
Right.
Something will happen in the moment.
Right.
A lunatic got on to promote his podcast.
Which, by the way, now I kind of want to go to his podcast, frankly.
He's doing it in the hallway, if you'd like to. no, he's an all right guy. I think he disrupted the show last year, but it's really... But it's a tricky situation where you've got the guy that comes up to you and is sort of like, man, I fucking love you, but I want you to die. You know, like,
yeah,
know
now you know what
that.
It's like to be a woman all the time.
This is what I'm learning. Do you have to deal with that?
Yeah, that's kind of the deal.
Like what?
I want to fuck you, but if you don't fuck me, I want you to die.
But that's, I love your show? Does that happen?
I don't hear that a lot. But I do, yeah, I think that guys view women as like, I either want to fuck you or kill you, nothing in between, right?
I don't know. I'd like to think I'd like to understand and then yell.
Oh, yeah?
So there's, yeah, like, I'd like to try to understand, then get frustrated, blame myself, and then say, why the fuck would I do that? It's her fault.
Do you feel like you've made some progress with understanding women recently?
I've learned to just quiet down a little.
Yeah. Sometimes we just need to be heard. Sometimes we don't want to solve the problem.
So.
That's not what I sound like. Buh, buh, buh.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
It's like the Charlie Brown voice. I feel
blah,
like
blah, blah, I, blah, 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 blah.
I like to think I'm a little more feminine.
No,
than that.
Of course I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm learning how. Look, I'm getting old. I can't I don't blame myself for everything, but I think I'm learning to understand.
I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
You have changed.
I have.
Yes.
Her and I, the first time we worked together, I think it was like, what, within months of my wife leaving me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we were in La Jolla.
You did not keep that a secret.
Yes, I did not keep that secret. And we were working in La Jolla at the Comedy Store, and we were staying in that horrible condo. And I think it like...
Can you believe that we stayed in a condo together?
No, I remember it very well, because I think by the end of the weekend, I was like, why can't you just fuck me? I mean, because I'm sad.
Yeah,
look at me. I need
I know.
Help.
I
Did
remember.
It get that bad?
Well, it's like, who wants to fuck a sad guy? And
I think
you were
there's
doing,
a few ladies in here that...
He was much more sad back then.
The guy whose podcast he just announced, he's more than willing to fuck a sad guy.
No, I think it was... But all you did was talk about your wife. And so it was kind of hard
That
to,
sounds hot, man.
I know. I did kind of want to, like, beat her in terms of getting her attention.
Yeah, I've got game, man. Yeah, wait, here's my opening line. Fuck her, am I right?
Yeah, like you would do, you're like, because we did shows. We were doing stand-up, so you would do both shows, like 2 hours just talking about her. And then you're like, hey, will you fuck me? I'm like, I don't feel special. This feels terrible.
I think you helped me out. I don't think I came
we
on that hard.
We went for a run, as I recall.
We went through a run.
We went jogging.
We went to the health food
store. We ran from our demons.
We did. We took a jog on the beach and we went to a
health food. It was intense. I remember it being intense.
Because I was still talking. There's the sad guy running. Yeah. That's not the best running partner. It's like, no, I think I feel good. I'm not even thinking about it. Oh, now I am. Yeah.
And then we went to a health food store.
Mm-hmm. And you lived your delusional sort of.
I did. I was in a lot of denial back then. Yeah. I was very lost back then. Yeah. And another thing that you did that I remember that I loved so much is that you were on stage one night, which is such a testament to how much comedians need to do stand-up. Like, you guys think that this is, like, fun for us. It's not fun. There's nothing fun about this horrible.
Don't tell them we enjoy our jobs.
And it was like you had been doing a show. The show was at 10:30. The second shows are really late down there.
Yeah.
And you had done, like, 2 hours. And you told the audience, if you want to go home, go ahead. But I'm going to keep going. People were like, okay. Some people did leave.
He gave us the out.
And then you just kept going for like another hour.
I think that's some weird fantasy I have that there's like, and I've talked about it on stage sometimes where like I just wanted to get to the point where people are like, I don't know if he's going to stop. And it's like we're beyond funny now. We're into something else.
It does become like this sort of like witnessing this portrait of insanity.
Right.
Like,
so,
does he need us or do we need him?
But I think I just wanted it to get to like, you know, to where everybody leaves and there's only like the two nicest people left.
Right. Or most codependent people.
Right, exactly. And then I just go, get the fuck out.
And then I don't fucking respect you. What kind of asshole waits
Why
here?
Why would you stay this long, freaks?
Yeah, that's I remember just loving that.
Those
so
days
much.
Are over, though. I want nothing more than for people just to stay through all my bullshit.
Yeah.
But that's not even true. The other night, I did an hour and a half, and I thought, like, you know, I'm boring myself. I said that out loud.
I like your thing now where you do, like, your inner monologue or, like, your guy who's watching you.
Yeah, the reviewer.
You get to comment on your own stand-up.
The inner blogger who's reviewing the show as it's going along.
I love that so much.
Maren thinks the podcast is going pretty well, but there's part of him that still thinks it's not going well at all because the people aren't really engaged or they're waiting for something, but Whitney's doing a really good job. I hope Mark has some questions for her or is able to get a few laughs during her time up there. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. More later.
That's my favorite part. More later. That's my favorite.
So what are you doing?
Good segue.
How did you? But no, I have a lot of respect for the fact that, like, you know, you're out there, you're fucking doing stand up every night, you're working your ass off. You know, it's hard to have a show, you know, get canceled, and it's hard to have two.
You know, I still have one on though, right?
But no, I know you're the producer,
right.
Clearly that's not enough for you to go like, I don't need to fucking do stand up. Like, so there's some party that's driven.
Yeah.
But like, in terms of when Whitney got canceled, I mean, did you go right back out and start yelling about
it? Yeah. I mean, I think that like, I mean, you do a show and simultaneously do stand up, right?
It's
like, I think that stand up is like my number one thing. I think a lot of people now do stand up to try to get something else. That's not my thing.
They were always those people.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, that's not. Stand up to me was the goal. Being a working stand up, to be able to pay my bills doing stand up was all I ever wanted. And then this other stuff happened, which was great. I couldn't, you know, I was a kid. I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Right.
And then I really missed doing stand up. Well, I kind of went insane.
Yeah.
I realized how
did that manifest itself,
Whitney? I guess I didn't see you at all for like a couple years.
No, I was like, she's got to deal with it. It's like when a mafia person goes to prison, like they're on their own.
I remember doing your podcast right before the shows got picked up.
Yeah, I mean, when you're all full of hope.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what's happened. You were like, you think this is going to work out? I was like, no, Mark, I'm going to make it.
But it did work out. You're making money while you sleep now.
Yeah, no, I mean, people think I don't have that much money. I mean, I tour to make money.
It's okay, you can have money.
I mean,
you don't have to undersell it.
I tour to make money. I have a very expensive family. I have to take care of my family.
You do?
Yeah. I'm like a basketball player or something. Like all my family Yeah.
That you have to buy them cars
and stuff?
That's what
got them. I did have to buy someone a car.
You did?
Yes, I did. This is what's so fucking amazing is that I grew up poor, okay? And my family has always been poor. And then all of a sudden, I think that people think when you get on TV that you automatically have like $20 million.
Not true.
But I think that that's people's perception. And so my sister, who, like, we've always been poor, as soon as I was like, okay, I guess, you know, I need to get you a car, I moved her to Los Angeles. She's sending me links to BMWs and Mercedes. We've never had BMWs.
My birthday's coming up.
Today, yeah. I'm like, you can look at fucking, I'll get you a Camry. You're not going to get a Hummer,
yeah.
You asshole.
Right.
Like, people get entitled for you in a weird way. So.
And what'd you get her?
I got her a Camry, a white Camry. It's a beautiful car. It's beautiful.
And what'd she say?
After she wrecked it or before she wrecked it? She wrecked it on Fairfax and Melrose, so if any of you were involved in that, fuck you.
How soon after you getting it for her, she wrecked it?
A couple weeks. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, that's the day. I mean, that's a no good deed goes on, you know. So, yeah, codependence breeds resentment. You know
we
that.
We talk a lot about codependence.
Yeah.
You and me.
Yes, we do.
And I don't know if a lot of people understand
it
exactly.
I think it's a tricky term. I think it's thrown around. I think a lot of people, I think codependence in its like prosaic term, like colloquial sense is like just means that you're like not independent, you're codependent. Whereas codependent really means that you put other people's needs before your own.
Right.
To your own detriment. And then it makes you start to hate them.
Yeah, and yourself.
You're so nice to, yeah, and yourself.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I've had that happen. Here's what I've noticed about myself is that here's how my codependency works is that I will let myself, like, I will bend over backwards to try to accommodate whoever I'm with, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And then when it's not received the way I think it's received, then I get angry, which is where I came up with the concept of the alpha doormat. I am an alpha doormat.
Yeah.
Which is basically like, whatever you need, whatever you need, whatever you need. I don't feel like you're really appreciating me. Fuck you.
It's like I didn't ask for any of those things.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
I'm trying to make you happy.
Okay, I said thank you. What more do you want?
Oh, it's not enough. Is that what you're saying?
It's not enough. I said it was enough.
Then why don't you act like it's enough?
What do you want? How? You want me to suck your dick again?
Yeah.
As someone who does that, it's like being pathologically thoughtful. You're pathologically thoughtful, right?
I love that, the way that sounds.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. Pathologically thoughtful.
Yeah. By the way, my favorite thing, I love that you guys get to see him do this live, because my favorite thing about when you do your podcast or your stand-up is even when you're killing and doing so well and you're talking, and if you're listening, I don't know what to tell you, sorry, you go like this.
Yeah.
And you like push into your forehead. Like do you know what I'm talking about? This thing that you do.
Yeah.
Like you have a migraine all the time.
I'll tell you exactly what's going on. Let's engage the blogger. All right, now Marin wants to disappear. And he thinks that if he does this, no one's watching. And he's all alone in his special space. Because he just needs a second. He just needs a second. Because everything's gotten emotionally draining for him. Hey, you guys. So,
You think you're like an ostrich or something?
No, there's part of me that thinks like, they can't see me now because I have my hand on my face.
No.
So, okay, this is one thing I wanted to do with everybody up here because you're women.
Uh-oh.
Is I have a 15-year-old niece who's, she's looking down the barrel.
Is she in here right now?
Looking down the barrel of a life.
Yeah.
15 years old.
Yeah.
What were you doing and how did it...
When I was 15?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I had the funny version or the real version? Do you want a bit?
Let's go back and forth. Let's mix it up a little bit.
Okay, I'll do the truth, you do the bit part.
Okay.
I'm trying to make this sound less dark. My parents...
No, because it's a success story, because you're here now.
Right, I made it! I'm at Sofitel.
Right, you made it out of whatever's about to happen right now.
We did it.
Yeah, okay.
When I was 15, I was unconscious. I had no idea what was happening. Like, metaphorically speaking, okay. I was not in a coma or anything. But
that would have been a horrible story.
I was disassociating. My parents were failures as parents, and so I was like sort of very alone when I was 15. I had an eating disorder when I was 15. Yeah.
What kind?
Just anorexic.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what you call just starving myself.
Yeah.
I like that people are laughing. That's good. That's smart. I was just like a mess. I think I was trying to like hide.
Yeah,
drugs. This was before, drugs was around then,
yeah,
a little
yeah.
earlier than then. My sister started doing drugs really young.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't good at drugs. Like right. I was like, I'm such a, again, people pleaser. I was just trying to take care of everybody. I literally would be on
acid.
You were
what they called the guide.
Yeah, totally. I'm the one that was like guarding. I was like, how's, are you okay? Are you hallucinating? I'll be over here.
You guys need fluids.
Need some water. Fluids. I know, I was trying to take care of everyone.
Okay, so
yeah.
It was bad.
It was, I mean, it was, everyone's got their shit, you know, but I had no idea what the fuck, I wasn't, I was playing basketball, I was very serious about playing basketball when I was 15.
And what was it, where was the moment where you're like, all right, everything's going to work out?
I had, that moment hasn't come yet.
Whitney Cummings, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
My next guest made her break. I think she was like a child living at her parents' house. Is that true? Is it, what, kinda? No, Shelby? Like, how old were you when you came, moved up here?
17.
Oh my God. And now she's a writer and she's a genius on Twitter and she's a comedian. Please welcome Shelby Farrow to the stage. I need to know your story.
Cool.
I don't know it.
Right.
Okay, here's how I'm going to set up the first question. Are you happy? Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Am I making people uncomfortable? Are you comfortable?
No. I just didn't know I was going to get to sit so close.
Well, here you are. How does it feel?
Feels really good.
It's weird, right? It's not draining. It's okay.
No, it's
not
fine.
Too intense. All of a sudden, you were on Twitter, and everybody was like, this girl's like a genius, right?
Yeah, they didn't say that to me.
Right. But you're hilarious, and then what happened? Because I know that you're like you were on Twitter, and everyone loved you. But like, were you living at home? Because you like you.
Yeah, I was a child. Of course, I was living at home. I was 15.
And you were getting attention from all these weird comedy men.
No. I mean, before I even joined Twitter or whatever, I was writing for I don't know, DearieCrack.com.
Yeah.
That's, I wrote for them for like a year and a half before anything.
When you were 16?
Else. When I was 15.
Oh my God.
And then that's what I was doing, and I was writing for like eHow. I don't know. I was just doing stuff like that, sort of just for fun. And I was doing stand-up. I didn't like things.
At 15, you were doing stand-up?
Mm-hmm. I did open mics up in San Francisco. I wasn't doing well. And then and then I got on Twitter like senior year or whatever, and it was just to keep up with like my friends who had graduated and
uh-huh.
like keep each other
right.
laughing.
Right.
And people liked it. And then I was writing for stuff the whole time, and I got pretty lucky. I got a job pretty quickly when I came out here. I came down here for college, realistically.
Now the clarity of your See, now, like, this, like, okay, so this is good for my 15-year-old niece. So at 15...
Is it...
You were already knew you wanted to be a comedy writer.
Yeah.
And you just started doing it.
Yeah.
And you got work.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking amazing.
Sure, but, yeah, but I think that there's a lot of... I mean, this isn't funny, but I think there's a lot of other parts of my life that either may have suffered or I wasn't as mature in.
Right.
So it's not... I don't think that's that impressive. I've been working since I was, like, old and since I was 12, since I was old enough to camp counsel and coach swim team, I started doing it. I just like working. I don't think that's impressive.
But being a camp counselor makes more sense, you know, writing comedy. Like, you were a camp counselor and then you were a swim coach?
Mm-hmm.
I used to swim.
Is that what we're gonna
now
bond
just...
over? Jesus.
What? Yeah, maybe. I had a B time in breaststroke. Nothing.
Was bad at breaststroke.
How could you be bad at that one? It's like the easiest one.
It's a lot has to do with like if your body can physically hit your feet together. This isn't interesting.
It's very interesting to me. How's your fly?
It's really good. I did the 200 IM.
You can butterfly really well
mm-hmm.
for more than like four strokes?
Not anymore, probably. Oh,
I'm very impressive for four strokes of butterfly. Like if I'm in a pool, I always knock those out. Just like boom.
Just and to then, show everyone who's boss at the community
right, exactly.
center?
Yeah. And then I'll just be like, that's all I can do right now because it's too fucking good.
Well,
yeah.
Let's get out.
All right. So now where are you writing?
Well, I just finished up. I'm unemployed. I just finished up at this new Paul Feig show for Yahoo.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah.
And you're just writing jokes. You wrote for Hardwick too?
Yeah. I wrote for At Midnight. I wrote for this cartoon on FX that was swiftly canceled after a season. I don't really write jokes though. It's scripted. It's 30-minute single cam.
How does that work? You just do like ideas? It's improvised?
For a TV show or for
no,
At Midnight
for like,
specifically?
Like, no, like well, you said you didn't write jokes, so what do you write for then?
I mean, you break stories and you write scripts.
Yeah.
And you have
thing.
A show.
I
do you know the processes?
So how old were you when you first did stand-up?
That might have been 16. That was my junior year of 16. Are you okay? Oh, God.
And you just do like an open mic? What do you
did
do?
Did you just eat a candle?
No.
No, it's just... lozenges.
This is just bullshit.
I know.
No one's going to fucking eat these with me.
I'll have one.
So, okay, so you go. Where'd you go on first?
The Brainwash up in San Francisco.
The fucking laundromat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, it's very
people
pleasant.
People nostalgic for a very difficult alt comedy gig. I remember when I lived up there, you're like, you want to do the laundromat? It's like, no, I don't fucking want to do the laundromat.
It's pretty tight, man.
Is it tight?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's like a cafe laundromat.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And were you doing straight up jokes?
No, they were like, I mean, yes, they were jokes, but they weren't like one-liners. Yeah. I've never wanted to be a one-liner comedian.
In your long career as a stand-up? Look, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this.
Oh, Jesus. No, they weren't good, though. I was so, so lucky that I got to do the shows I got to do right when I moved down here. Because I think if I had to do open mics in L.A., I would have never fucking done stand-up.
But when Cracked hired you, were they like, well, you're exactly the age we're trying to appeal to?
15-year-old girls?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have like an open submissions process in their forums where you like pitch ideas, and then if they like the idea, they accept it, and then they edit, I don't know, and then you write it. So it's just like a editorial process that anyone can do, anybody. They're really great guys.
Are they?
I'm trying to shill for them, I guess. Yeah, they're really nice.
I'm so sorry. Did you graduate high school?
Yeah, I did. Thank fucking God.
Why? You don't need to. So you're just like, fuck college. You already are on your way.
No, I moved down here ostensibly to go to film school at USC, and then I dropped out of that.
You dropped out of film school?
Yeah. It's so expensive.
It's so expensive?
So dumb.
But isn't part of you like, you know, I better go to school and get a degree just in case being a stand-up comic is some ridiculous pipe dream and it's going to become dark and fucked up?
No. No,
really?
I'm pretty confident in the choices I've made in life. No,
This is, by the way, this is the fucking new generation of, this is this generation, fucking confident, I can do anything, I can live
so
my
confident.
Dreams, I'm talented. My generation has no self-esteem.
Oh my God, I love that you think I have self-esteem.
You
so
do, you think you can make it, good for you. I still don't think that.
I think I'm lucky that I was wanted to write. I'm the fucking person you guys hate. I don't want to do stand up for a living.
He hates everyone. That doesn't narrow it down.
Why would I hate you? I think that's a good choice. Yeah, I like it's smart. Do you see what stand up does to people?
Yeah, it's awful.
Look at me. Look at her.
But it's which way around is it? Is it causation or correlation? No, I mean my thing is like, look, if I have to go back to school, if everything doesn't work out and I have to go back money-wise, what I want to do-wise, et cetera, it means that I'm going to go back for an education degree or a biology degree. I will have been so far fallen from what I want to do with my life that I'll have so many more things to reckon with than 4 years of school. Like, that's how I think about it.
Right. So you're saying if things don't work out, you'd be like, fuck show business. I'm going
to
get...
I mean, that's ostensibly what will have to happen. It's not like any job I'm trying to get, they're like, but where's that film school degree? Like, that's never going to happen. So if
they're
I can
like,
get
oh,
a job...
you performed at a laundromat? Perfect.
Or how about
that's
that
amazing.
Vague communications degree? What the fuck
was that?
You got one of those?
Yeah.
I know so many people are like, what is...
I think it used to be for phone switches. I'm not fucking kidding.
What, it used to be for what?
I think it used to be for phone switches. This kid is a kid. I'm sorry, you're a grown man. I'm a child.
You're the youngest person
in here besides his niece, so...
For what?
Like phone switches.
What
like
does that mean?
Are you kidding me? In the 20s, a line had to be physically connected to the other line. It's why you would call the operator.
Right. Okay, all right, fine. So you're saying that's what a communications
like,
degree
like
is for.
I love how sped up you are. She's like, God damn it, Maren, I don't have time for this shit.
I mean, it was just
I'm 20
short
years
of like,
old, I have places to be.
It was
I have
just
a career.
Short of like, what don't you get, old man?
Totally.
It was so close to that.
Totally.
It wasn't your time, but it was in the past. People should know about it.
I know what phone switching is. I didn't make the jump for the visual for the joke. I thought you were talking about some slang that I didn't understand. he said as an old man.
Phone switching does sound like Ebonics, if you don't
phone
know.
Phone switching?
Yeah, phone switching.
So, okay, so the journey for you is just to be a writer, maybe write a movie, and then like sort of, you know, make bank and live here in Hollywood.
Sure. Why not, man?
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
How are they doing?
They're doing very well. I have two older sisters and a little brother.
And your parents?
They're doing great. Mike Everybody's, and Katie are fantastic.
And they're happy with your decisions in life?
Not even the tiniest bit. Could not be more upset.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what do they say to you?
They don't say anything to me.
Just to your sisters and do something. Talk to her.
Sure. I get very weirdly treated. I'm the black sheep in my family.
Oh, really?
In a big way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're the problem?
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that.
I know. Me neither. That's a big problem.
What did your siblings end up doing?
My oldest sister right now is in medical school. She's a third-year med student. Ugh. And then, I know. And then my other sister graduated with a physics degree from Berkeley.
A what? A physics degree from Berkeley?
I know. I know. And she is now applying to grad school. She's working at a lab in the city. And then my little brother just turned 16.
What is he doing? Playing Mozart in his sleep?
He's really good at water polo, and he's amazing at history. So,
so it's not your fault. You've been bullied by the ambition of your siblings and their weird kind of intellectual fortitude. Right?
Clef?
I did. I couldn't find a word.
What
are you
going
to do
know.
To compete with that? What's the physics equivalent of a half-hour comedy?
I really don't think. I mean, I could go to the Oscars and they'd be like,
whatever.
Yeah, they'd be like, well, your speech was a little half-assed. I'd be like, are you kidding me?
Oh, they're those kind of parents?
No. That my parents aren't. They're
you
just
throw them under the bus, man. This is where you do it.
No, we're not like a very effusive family. Uh-huh. I would say.
Is your dad an academic?
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, he has like a PhD in physics and microbiology.
Oh, God. This sounds like a hilarious household.
What?
I can see why you went into comedy. I mean, the physics conversation at the table must have been awesome.
Well, it's super lucky. I think all the time, I was pretty good at school, and I think that I could have done something with my life, but our family fought so much, and I was the only person who thought it was funny or like would be the only person to be like, hey, things aren't so bad, everybody.
Yeah,
like,
that's called denial.
Exactly.
What did they fight about? Like quantum theory? What?
Our family fights insanely.
Really?
Yeah,
but
we'll
now
go
you're,
at it.
Your father must, does he fight with your sister about physics?
No, but we'll fight, like we'll just have some dumb argument about semantics or yeah, like about bacteria or some stupid shit that doesn't really matter and we could look up and we'll just get off on like a 2-hour argument, like a real, like, we're arguing.
Really?
Arguing.
About,
like, I'll call my sister cunt about 10 times. Like, and then I hear it, and I'm like, oh, my God, Allie, let's go get donuts. What's happening here?
Like, you called your sister a cunt 10 times?
Oh, we do it all the time. I mean, we're just...
I'm a big fan of that word, but I apparently can't use it.
I know. I feel bad. I don't think
you
I can't,
learned
you're
it. You're allowed to use that word.
Am I? Is it like a...
Is cunt allowed, like Whitney?
We can
it's
use it?
A la- no.
No?
I don't. Here's the... I like the... It's just... I feel like it's a little played out.
I'm pro cunt.
Okay. I think that's it's fair. Just it's more to me unoriginal. It's just not shocking anymore.
What about
Oh yeah, I don't think so.
I think
But wait.
But your dad calling you cunt?
No. It's no.
That's a different story. That's I'm interested now. I'm listening.
I feel like
I like
no,
when you call
no, we
men
don't do that.
Cunts. I like calling men cunts.
Yeah.
That's actually I like that.
Yeah, I do
you
too.
You doing it, you I feel like you can use that word cuz you mean it. I think a lot of people throw it around for just like shock value and it loses
I only use it for Twitter trolls. I literally,
I like
it's almost exclusively for
I
Twitter
like seeing
trolls.
It written. When someone says it, it's just like, it's a little jarring.
Yeah, it's
yeah, sometimes. But I like that it's hard. I like the hard stuff.
Yeah, it's like the verbal
my
version of a
cunt.
Rock.
Jesus
when
Christ.
You, it's like when you throw a cunt at somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
it game over. Yeah, but I feel like people throw it around now and it doesn't have that same value it used
no, because if you just
But throw see, it. I like that. I want it to be used the way.
In a colloquial sense.
Yeah, kind of. Because I think I learned it very late in life and I learned it past the point that swear words had not been fun anymore
yeah.
or powerful anymore.
Yeah.
So when you're like 13 and you find out like, oh, cunt. I think it was fucking Elijah Schlesinger said it on Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
Or someone said it on Last
she
Comic
Standing.
She said
cunt on NBC?
Someone did. And it was like a big deal. Like, Ant was like, whoa, she went out of the gate with that. And I was like 14. Like
she upset Ant with cunt.
I don't want to I'm scared that it wasn't Schlesinger. I'm scared it was someone else, and this is
whoever
bad
it
press,
was. But I'm glad she got a rise out of Ant.
Yeah, but so and then my mom was like, "I don't want to tell you what it is." So it took 2 days of me going like, "Tell me." And then finally she was like, "Oh, fine, it's cunt." And I was like, "Okay, whatever, man.
Yeah,
a fucking word."
Cool. I think the message at this point is that we need to free the cunt. For more casual engagement. That you're saying that it would be nice to be able to go like, hey, how are you cunts doing?
I think there's something interesting about you saying it because you're so smart that if you're used, there's something surprising about you using it and funny. But
maybe. I don't think I actually have opinions on this. I think I just didn't want to talk about my family. I'm like slowly realizing that.
Do you date? Are you, is it hard for guys to date you?
Oh, probably.
I would
I don't
not
want
to
date
you.
Yeah,
it would be intimidating, right?
I don't date. I just, there's no point.
You're 20!
Exactly.
What?
I'm not going to marry them.
Damage do you have from guys?
None. It's just like, well, if we date, I'm not going to marry you. You're not going to marry me. I'm 20. That would be goddamn bonkers insane. And like, I think that if a girl doesn't really push, like we should be in a relationship, it doesn't get pushed.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. So
right.
Don't clap. Don't applaud for my emotional
You're a cunt.
But no, I don't know. I don't like people.
You don't like the idea of dating?
No, I don't.
Okay, fine. That's fine.
Start so early with your cynicism. Good.
But she just doesn't want to call it that. You know, this is that same thing. There's a confidence to it. You know what I mean? It's like if you're not dating, you're just sort of like, well, we're not dating, but we can hang out. And then you go away and I don't have to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, it hasn't worked out great.
Okay. I'm sorry, Shelby. I hope it works out soon.
No, things are really good.
I think we should close on something big. So what job are you trying to get right now? Where do you want to write? What would be a dream job?
I'm trying to fucking pitch stuff.
Oh, are you?
I hate it.
You're going into the room with the
guy?
I like
that you'll not pitch, yet. But you won't date. So much worse.
You know, take one type of judgment. At least they're not trying to... Fuck you. Jesus.
What? Yeah, they are.
They will.
What the fuck are you talking about? Literally and figuratively.
That's a thing.
She got fucked hard twice. Just took her show right off the air.
Twice.
Right off the air.
I watched and I liked it. Whatever, man.
I did too. I watched one or two and I enjoyed them.
Did not even watch that.
I'm sure I watched it. Are you kidding? I was like, it was judgment time.
Yeah, that must be fun. So
I would have loved your commentary on it. Just you.
Are you guys hiring?
What?
Nothing.
Shelby Farrow, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. It's my birthday. I can fucking eat this. Do you want a piece of cupcake?
No, I actually am allergic to wheat.
You are?
Yeah, I found out.
Are you really, though? Because I think that's sort of a bullshit allergy.
No, gluten's fine.
Oh.
So I could buy like wheat-free flour and then add gluten back to it if I wanted to.
Oh. So do you have celiac?
I don't have celiac.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And on a high note.
It's great. This next woman is one of the funniest people ever, and she's been in show business a long time. You might know her as the voice of Bobby Hill. You might know her from her recent appearances on The Louie Show. Please welcome Pam Adlon to the stage.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So fucking good.
That's I'm monitoring my daughter's Ubers, and my 17-year-old just cock-blocked my 14-year-old's Uber.
What do you mean?
She's in Venice with like 5 skateboarders. So,
so this is happening as it's unfolding now.
I'm smelling the mic.
Bam.
It smells good. Bam. Sorry.
How are you?
Hi.
It's nice to see you. Let's focus up.
All right.
So, are you good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. I can always be somewhere and it's like stress free. I'm sitting at the end of the thing and like I'm writing, where are you? Who's getting an Uber?
Yeah.
I was listening to you and I feel very proud as the second oldest person in this fucking room. Fuck all of you.
How long have you been in show business? When was the first?
Well, I grew up in it.
Yeah.
You don't put your lips on it, right?
No.
How many? Who was just in here before?
I don't know. They're relatively clean.
I'm so OCD. I prefer the rope, the cord under the table. But whatever. I grew up in it. My dad was a writer producer, and so I grew up on sound stages, and I started acting when I was young. So
you've been in this shit forever.
Yeah.
And there ever times where you're like, "Get me the fuck out"?
Yeah, I mean, when I've had to do, like, when you're around people that you don't want to hang around, when you have to work with people that you don't actually want to work with, is when you go, what the fuck am I doing this for?
Yeah.
But all the rest of the time, I've loved it my whole life. I grew up in it. I watched my dad do it, and I always knew that I wanted to be part of it, and I always, like, pretended to be, like, the guy running the show when I was like 11 years old and all of that. I told you that.
Yeah, the precocious kid on the set.
Yeah.
What was the first role that you did though? Was it the TV stuff?
I was probably, God, what was it? Maybe it was a Mexican pudding commercial that wasn't approved by the FDA. We had to do it in Spanish. I wore the dress I wore to my brother's bar mitzvah in the commercial. We shot it at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. I was very excited.
It was a banned pudding commercial?
It was a Mexican pudding.
But it was illegal somehow?
Yeah, it was banned. It wasn't approved by the FDA, so we had to do it in Spanish.
It doesn't have to be approved if it's a vitamin.
Oh, that's, or an herb, you mean?
Yeah. We are learning shit tonight.
I know.
Pudding
I'm proud of Shelby. She's like one of my kids.
So it was banned because it wasn't approved by the FDA, but they were just going to sell it in Mexico?
Yeah. They were like, fuck it. Let's just do it in Mexico. They won't care. So
that was the first.
Yeah. And then like later, I guess, like significantly, I played the role of Angel, the Christy McNichol part in the pilot of Little Darlings.
Never aired.
Silverman would appreciate that. But yeah, never aired. But I was Angel, a much coveted role for all the butchy, Jewy, Italian-y, Mexican-y, girl, boy, women, men, people. And then my first movie role was, I was Dolores in Grease 2. So, you know. Yeah.
Did you sing and dance?
Fun. Yeah. We danced. Alan Carr made faggy jokes at me. I was in heaven. It was great. Tab Hunter was like knitting and needle pointing and.
Backstage?
Yeah, it was crazy. He told me that Rosie Greer taught him how to needlepoint. It was amazing. Like, I was hanging out with all these 30-year-olds. I was 14. I was like, dude, whatever.
Needlepointing men. Yeah.
It was awesome.
And then, like, but what was the big, we were on Facts of Life? Was that the one?
I was on Facts of Life.
For a bunch of them, right?
Yeah.
Do people remember that from their childhood?
I was obsessed with that show. I totally was so excited when I got the part, and then they fucking edged me out. They were like, we don't want new bitches in here.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. They just, you know, they were like a group. They were like a clicked out group. It's fine. I don't care. Whatever.
There was
the Christian, the butchy one.
And which one were you exactly?
I was the one who, you know, like they made, like I ended up going on and then my character robbed Edna's edibles. You don't even fucking know what I'm talking about.
It was on a block of shows, I think, that I would watch when I would fake sick on maybe.
I'm like the I Dream of Jeannie of your world.
I like that show too, man. That was on a block with Bewitched and Gilligan's Island. I would watch that.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know until relatively recently that you did Bobby Hill's voice, and that, like, and everybody loves that fucking show. How many of those did you end up doing? Like 200 of them?
We did 13 seasons. I don't know how many episodes that was, but...
That was a huge break. Was that a blast?
Yeah, it was amazing. My ex-husband still enjoys it very much. Yeah.
Because he's still,
Yeah.
Fuck him, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Fuck him very much, sir. Anyway, no. We're totally close. Anyway, but that was an amazing thing to get because, like, you know, I live in the animation world, and so... You know, you go in and you do, like, auditions for things, and you never know what you're going to get. And then, you know, we did a voice to, like, the animatic, like, the pencil sketch. And I remember, and Greg Daniels said, I'm going to turn around. I don't want to offend you, but I have to look at the sketch, and I don't want to look at you. And I was like, I don't fucking care, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I went through the whole process, and then... I got the part, and, you know, it was just a job. Like, all the jobs that I was doing, which were fun, like, when I started doing, like, the kids' animation, like, the Disney stuff, it was this great job. And then I became a mom, and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm doing all these things my kids can watch. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And then I started doing King of the Hill, and it's, like, primetime animation, and they pre-sold the first season into syndication. Like, that's where, like, all the money is, and they got excited. I mean, nowhere near, like, The Simpsons juggernaut or whatever, but we would constantly get these scripts that were just unbelievable. Like, I thought the writing was so good. It was actually incredible, and it was all, like, these fucking Jewish writers from Harvard writing for all these Texans and whatever, and just getting out their childhood and all their terrible things and any abuse they lived through and whatever.
Shelby, don't let this hold you back.
I know. No, it's... but it was... That was the best job. Like, we just... We loved doing that. We knew we were lucky.
Well, let's talk about Louie. Okay. You were great on the original one, the HBO one that was misunderstood.
I love that show.
I love that show too.
Lucky Louie.
Lucky Louie.
30.
No, don't worry about it. Thank you very much. So
I love you.
So you did, like, you only did, how many did you do of Lucky Louie? Like 13 or what? How many?
Yeah, we only did 13.
And then they took it away. And then Louie, the survivor.
We waited almost
a
year.
That's great, though. That's a season.
Yeah,
that's
we feel episodes. Lucky we did it, but we waited almost a year for them to tell us. They were like, the whole year, they were like, it's looking good.
And by the way, that
so
show
excited.
Was flawless.
It was so
it
good.
It was flawless.
Well, I think it was because, like, that people didn't understand the conceit of it. Because when Louie explained it to me, the whole idea was, like, we're going to do the Honeymooners on a set.
Yeah.
That, like the Honeymooners set,
yeah.
No frills, and it's just going to be filthy and honest.
Yeah.
And I don't think people, I think that most people watched it and said, why didn't they put any money into the set? And it was this whole idea that it was going to be retro.
Yeah, he didn't want it. He wanted it to be bare bones. And, like, the day we did the camera test, they had, like, every kind of film available. And Gary Halverson, the director, he's like, you're not going to shoot this on video, right? You're just not going to leave me hanging out to dry. Listen, I have a black wife. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's alternative. And we were like, what? Okay. And Louis was like, fuck you, we're shooting it on video. Don't put her in plaid. It looks like Roseanne. It's a brand new shirt. We want it to be real. Take her pants off. But we loved it. I mean, it's like we did two shows a week, and the audiences would scream, and they would talk to us while we were doing the scenes. They were like, no, you didn't. And we would be like, oh my God. Like, we'd want to talk to them, but we're like, oh my God, we're doing a show.
Wait, can you say how you did it? Just because he was talking about this last week. You did two shows, as in you did two tapings a night.
Yeah, we actually...
Most multicams do not do that.
Yeah, we would start work on Monday, and we would have a show taping for audience by Thursday, and then the next show Friday. And then we switched it, I guess, at the end to two shows on Fridays.
And then you was that the first time you worked with Louis? How'd you get cast with that? Did you just read?
He saw me in a show called Unscripted. I did that. Steven Soderbergh and Grant Heslov and George Clooney produced, and it was all like improv. Like they would say, you know, Grant was like, "Okay, Pammy, you're an actress, and you fuck Nick Panessa, and you're in the acting class, and then you hook her up." I'm like, "I'm married. I have three kids." He's like, "Nobody needs to know that." I'm like, "I don't get it. Okay, I'll fuck Nick Panessa in a car, whatever." But it was like very experimental. So he saw me in that, and that's how we ended up doing. Like, I auditioned for it like everything else, like King of the Hill, like everything.
And now, in this last season of Louis, you like had a big arc.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was nudity, Louis's butt.
Yeah, he always takes the nudity hits. He loves it.
Unlucky Louis, he had to show his dick. I don't know. Yeah. And the weird
and
thing.
And Rick Shapiro, the dick and balls was them, not me.
Rick Shapiro would show his dick now. If you asked him to come in, he would gladly.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. But yeah. Louis, the funny thing about him showing his dick is he somehow thought in his mind that he was going to get away with it. It happened very quickly.
Yeah.
And within 3 minutes, it was on the internet, just frozen. Louis's dick.
Yeah.
Was he, I wonder.
He doesn't care.
I know.
He's like, I mean, in the bathtub scene, he's like, "Oh, I gotta bend over, I gotta get in the thing, whatever." But
it was literally his whole ass was like right there, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, but you could have guessed. That's always my thing with nudity. I'm like, you can pretty much guess what anyone looks like.
I did so many years of that on Californication. It's like, you know, you just. You kind
of. I did so many years of that.
You kind of just go like this. You know,
I don't know if I'm comfortable with it.
I know.
I've done my podcast nude, but
Have you done any nude stuff on your show? Have you had to?
No, we can't do it on IFC. We can't do the full nude thing.
Well,
we
can't do it on FX. You can't show nipples.
Yeah. I showed my nipples.
But why can't you show women's nipples? Why can't you show like a tit?
Yeah.
But you can say. Like, on Californication, we used to, like, bleep out. Like, we used to do a free TV version of, like, the bad language.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't say, like, fuck or shit or whatever because it would be on an airplane or, like, at a church Sunday or some whatever the fuck they were for. But you could say bitch and whore and, like, anything that was derogatory against women. I'd be like, seriously, this is okay, but you can't say motherfucker. Whatever. So, I don't know what the
standard
is. So,
are you working with Louis on the next season?
Yeah, we're not starting that until next year because he took a break and he's doing like a really short season. He's going to do like 8 episodes or something like that.
How much do you work with him when you're doing when you're putting together what's happening?
Well, I help cast the whole thing and then we work on the whole season. And last season was great because Vernon Chapman and he and I got to work together a lot. And then Stephen Wright came in and he was amazing to have around. He was just like...
He's a very sweet guy. He loves to laugh, that guy.
He's a sweetheart.
When I have him on my podcast...
He's a fist bumper.
He would... Stephen Wright, because when he would laugh, he would hide his mouth. And he would step back from the mic, and I'm like, no. And people need to know that you're human.
He doesn't want to touch the thing, though.
Oh, but no, but he didn't want people to hear him laugh. And I was like, you're like a normal guy.
I know. He's so sweet and gentle. But I'm telling you, like, there's this free radio station called The Sound, and I listen to it when I drive my oldest daughter to school in the morning, and they play, like, at quarter to the hour, they play, like, a comedian.
Funnies.
Yeah. And they were playing Stephen Wright on the morning I was driving her to school, and she was fucking dying. And it was so amazing to hear her take in Stephen Wright. It was awesome.
Pam Adlon, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move down. My next guest, I am... I engaged with on Twitter, and it just never stopped. She's one of the filthiest tweeters and the funniest tweeters. It's all very specific. It's nasty shit. And I reached out to her, and I said, do you talk like a person? And we went out, and we had coffee. I'm like, I want you to come on the show. And she's like, yeah, I write with Laura Silverman. I'm like, I fucking know Laura Silverman. So Laura Silverman's a writer. She's Sarah Silverman's sister. And I first met her when I was in college. And she was like really a cute jappy girl and had her hair flipped back and was wearing a parka. I remember Laura Silverman. But Desi is a writer, and she's here now. Please welcome Desi Jedigan. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm excited you're here.
I know, me too.
Because you're so dirty and like, but the weird thing is, do any of you follow her on Twitter? Any of you? Desi Jedigan? You should follow her. Because it's just nonstop alcohol and vagina and fucking jokes. In a positive
Thank
way.
You.
But when I talked to you at when we were having coffee, you're like, well, it's kind of true.
Well, because it is all based in truth.
Yeah.
But it's slightly exaggerated. I mean, I'm not constantly coming over
now?
Every little thing. Yeah, like I'm not, like if I was tweeting this, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm coming so hard. Mark Maron is talking to me on a panel, but I'm not actually coming. This guy's shaking his head. He's like, ugh.
No, but I think what was it? The other night, I kind of freaked out because you brought up Skynyrd, and I'm like, Skynyrd. Who I love Skynyrd, and then like we had this big thing. Then Patton got involved, and then all of a sudden
it became
an international event.
I had like 8,000 notifications all of a sudden, and I was like, "What the fuck is going on?" Like, and Patton had like retweeted it or something, and then you got involved.
What was the story again? It was like you.
Because the first time I was pissed on was at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert, so I just tweeted that, you know, Friday night at home alone.
But what you told me when I hung out with you was like, that did happen.
It did happen. It is true. It wasn't like sexual. I just got peed on by a concert goer.
I was going to say, was it like in the fun way? Or
it
like
wasn't like a good way. Not like now. I mean,
it wasn't like a sexual thing?
But no, it was just a random drunk guy, and I went to move the string out of the way, but it was actually a stream of urine. So he was just kind of sitting there with his dick hanging out of his zipper, pissing across the aisle, and I was like, you know, 16. That was what I was doing at 16.
You were
moving urine
running your
out
hand
of my,
through streams
my
of urine at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert. Now,
exactly.
To me, I'm just going to put a couple of things together. You think you pee a string, and there's a guy pissing publicly, and you had a Skynyrd concert. See, I'm going to assume that you grew up in the South, and I'm going to assume, like, because, like, for me, I was just excited that you were at a Skynyrd concert.
Yeah.
But do you love Skynyrd?
No, my mom went to high school with them, so that's why.
How fucking great
I was
is that?
Kind of
fuck all
in
you
that.
Judgmental people. Lynyrd Skynyrd, man. Ronnie Van Zant, Gary Rossington, Alan Collins, Artemis Pyle, Billy Powell, Steve Gaines later, and Ed King earlier. You know, I don't understand why they can't be elevated where they deserve. Why are you so judgmental?
Well, the funny thing is, I remember when you first started following me on Twitter, the first time you ever liked anything that I did was a Lynyrd Skynyrd tweet. And I just remembered because you liked it like 1 second after I posted it. And I was like, what the fuck? And it was a Lynyrd Skynyrd tweet. I can't remember. I think it was like during the ending of How I Met Your Mother. And I wrote, your mom sucked my dick at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert if my dad wrote How I Met Your Mother or something yeah. like that. But I just remember you liked it right away because I was almost like, should I post this? And then I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
One person likes it.
But you grew up around Skynyrd people.
Yes. I not only did I grow up around them, but I thought that Ronnie Van Zant was my father briefly when my mom told me that my dad wasn't my real dad.
Yeah.
I had this fantasy that it was Ronnie Van Zant, but he was dead, so I had this whole like, oh my God, I'll never meet him. He died in a fiery plane crash. This is terrible. Da 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 da. And then it turned out my real dad was like this poor man's Ronnie Van Zant, like a total dirtbag, toothless Ronnie Van Zant. Look-alike or wannabe type guy. So,
where'd you grow up exactly?
I was born in Jacksonville, Florida, which is where Lynyrd Skynyrd is from.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And hell yeah. So yeah.
And I don't want to be judgmental.
Okay.
But like, it seems a little like, is white trash a bad thing to say?
Well, we were white trash, but we were also Mormon, so it was a little elevated.
You were Mormon?
Well, my mom was raised Mormon, but she obviously left the pack very early to fuck guys and Leonard Skinner and whatnot. She was like 16 and, you know, out there fucking and whatever.
In the Mormon way,
Yes, exactly. Only anal, so. Sorry.
This is why you should follow her on Twitter. How great is that? That really happens, though, apparently.
It's
Catholics.
True. It's like a real Mormon thing. Birth control. Yeah. I knew that about my grandmother and grandfather at a very young age. Like
that they were ass-fucking?
Yeah, because my grandmother had 12 kids, and that was how they didn't have kids. They would fuck in the ass.
And this came up at dinner, or?
I was actually...
I mean, how do you sit down with your grandmother?
We were bearing our testimony at church, and it just came up.
Did you just make this connection, or was it a known thing?
No, I think it was like, I was like, oh, like, that, because they were like, oh, we still have sex. Yeah. I knew a lot about sex at a very young age because my mom fucked a lot in front of me or in the, like,
great.
She didn't really hide it from me.
But not like in front of you, like, hey, Desi, come here.
Kind of.
Really?
Like, she would get drunk at parties and I'd be like walking and she'd be like in the atrium riding some guy. I'm like,
oh my God.
You guys it's funny.
Atrium,
it's really
though.
Funny. I laugh about
you
it.
She had an atrium.
Well, it was a rental, but yeah. So, it was a cool rental.
Not a lot of boundaries in the house.
No, not at all. So.
So when did you run away?
She's all excited for me. It's okay. I'm writing a book about it. It's fine. I'm grateful.
Where does that book start? The times my mom fucked in front of me?
Yeah, it's a sad story of a girl coming of age with her mom fucking in front of her.
But it's really happened. Sadly, it's exactly...
I honestly didn't know it was abnormal until my friends would sleep over. And I was like... They would be like, what's a slut? And I'd be like, oh, well, slut is when your mom fucks guys.
Let's go to the atrium.
When you hear your mom say, I want to fuck, and you're like, oh, okay, that's a slut, my mom. Mm-hmm. I learned early on to like embrace that and kind of get cool popularity points.
Yeah.
Because I knew a lot about sex, so I could just kind
of... You could bring people over and go like, just hang out.
Hey,
she's on her third.
Hey, there's my mom. She just got breast implants. Look at them.
Oh, my God.
What's the matter, Wick? Get on the mic.
That was weirdly, to me, the darkest part of this whole thing. That your mom got breast implants.
She denied it, too, which was the weird part.
Doesn't that take a couple days? You have to get a surgery? Did you have a babysitter for when she was getting surgery?
I was the babysitter because I have two younger sisters.
It's outpatient.
So, yeah.
It's outpatient.
It's all crazy. She did have to go back in, so she probably got fucked too hard and split the stitches.
Oh,
hold
my
on,
God.
Hold on.
Sorry.
We're livening up the show. This is an amazing story about a difficult childhood. I'm glad my niece is here to hear this. Because she just has to deal with my lunatic brother.
I know,
it
could be worse.
I don't know.
That's my lesson.
It could always be worse.
Yes, absolutely.
And when did you come out to L.A.?
Like 10 years ago.
And you've just been writing and...
Yeah, I started... I thought I would do stand-up, but that didn't go well because I would tell jokes and everyone would be like, oh, that's so sad.
So then continues way into a stand-up career.
I would have like 15,000 people not laughing at my jokes in big stadiums. But so you're doing okay.
You just got up and just told the truth and they were like, oh.
I would try to format the jokes and like really, because the class was like 6 weeks and you'll be doing stand-up. Like anyone can do stand-up. So I would take the format they gave me and insert my sad childhood jokes. Like, it's really hard when your mom's fucking guys in front of you. And like, so you had to do everything in that joke format, and then you'd have to do like an act out, like, you know, when she told me about this is so horrible, I'm sorry I'm doing this. When she told me about the birds and the bees, she would say, do you know how babies are made? And I would say, no, but I know that after two daiquiris, you like it hard and deep. And then everyone would be like, oh, that's so sad. And like, everyone was just like depressed. But then I did have a gay, depressive writing partner in that class who didn't show up the first class. And then his first joke to me was, it's really hard when you're sexually molested as a child. And I was just like, where were you first week? Like,
yeah. I don't say this sarcastically or sardonically. You sound pretty healthy about it. Like, you don't...
I mean,
I don't agree.
It's somewhere in between, maybe. I don't know.
Where are you writing for now?
Well, I'm writing with Laura.
Yeah.
And then I write for like a Cracked for teens.
She used to write for Cracked, yeah.
It's not Cracked. It's Cracked. It's kind of like a lamer.
Which one?
Stupid. Ugh, I don't even want to say it. It's too embarrassing. But I'm also writing on my book. That's like my big thing.
But I love the idea that you have this this weird, dark, demented past, and you've processed it, and you're just writing cute things for 15-year-olds.
I have to be careful. I do get in trouble a lot
when you bring
from
up
my
your
boss,
mom.
Where yeah. I'll make jokes about like my childhood, like in a thing about like Britney Spears or you know like whoever Ariana Grande. I'm like that. Like what happened to me when my dad,
yeah.
you know, came on my shoe. No, I'm just kidding.
Please tell me he didn't come on your shoe.
No, that's a bit exaggerated. But,
yeah. So wait.
It was more innocent.
Are you? It's an accident. Like if there's you know, if there's cum in motion anywhere around children, it's bad.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not. There's no whoops involved when it's sort of like what? What was that? I'm sorry. I was just over here doing something.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I was working in the kitchen.
I was building something in the workshop.
And I got cum on my hand.
You should have knocked.
Oh God. All right. Well. Anyway. So what kind of stuff are you writing with Laura? TV ideas and stuff?
Oh, yeah. We wrote 2 pilots.
Oh, so you're out there trying to sell them?
Yeah.
Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Desi Jedekin. Got one more. That's very good. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's my pleasure to bring up this next comedian who I saw in Minneapolis the first time, and then I had her open for me, and then I think it's my fault that she moved here. Is that possible, Amber? Amber Preston, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo, Amber! I brought vegan, gluten-free, so Shelby, I don't know
what
if you can
got?
Have any or not.
Gluten-free what?
Vegan, gluten-free cookies for you, because I have nothing to add to this.
Yes, you do.
I don't have cum shoes,
yes,
pee stories.
Yes,
I don't
you do.
Have, I can tell you guys what it's like to have a day job in a cafe. That's what I'm bringing to the table. There's pine nuts.
Yeah.
Some burnt peanut butter and coconut chocolate
Did you make
chip.
These?
No.
Oh, all right.
No.
Thumbprints.
They're good. Happy birthday.
So what the
birthday.
Fuck is happening, man?
I moved here
yeah.
to tell jokes.
Yeah.
And hello.
Are you okay?
And it's hot.
Yeah.
So hot.
So is it working out okay? Because I felt kind of bad because I was like, you got to go to LA. Yeah. And then you came here and then I don't know what you've been up to.
I didn't talk to you and then nothing. And then I just live in my room waiting for you to text me back. And tonight is the first time I've been out. So it's
but
what, good.
But you had to get out of Minnesota. Come on.
Yes. Oh, no. Minneapolis is great.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be like Shelby and get some shit done.
Yeah.
16 years after what she's doing. I'm just trying to get a job from all of you at some point up here today. What's happening? I'm doing stand up and telling
so,
jokes.
But Minneapolis, like Minnesota, like there's a whole world up there and you lived in it.
Yeah. Real people.
Yeah, I know.
Real people.
What are you feeling about LA?
I like it. The first few months are nice and I had a fellow back home and I'd mm-hmm. call and like do shows. And then a couple months ago I got straight up dumped, like straight up, like you see those movies and you're like, oh, I don't believe like that girl. They think they're going to dinner and it's gonna be a proposal and then it's like, oh no, just kidding, he's sleeping with your best friend. That happens in real life.
Was he sleeping? He wasn't.
He wasn't, I don't think so, but I don't know because he's
did he do it over the phone or in person?
Over the phone. I have nothing to contribute but bitterness and anger, so you can take a break. I got it. And I got this. I'm so furious. Just have a cookie, hun. Have a cookie.
Yeah.
But I'm still Minnesota nice, so I'm like, I'm fucking pissed. But have a cookie. Like, I'm real mad about
but
it.
You
but
moved, I mean, you left him and moved to LA, and then were surprised that he broke up with you?
No, no. He was part of the... We were going to move together, and I was kind of waiting, and then a friend of mine had an opening in her house, and he said, babe, you should go for it. You've been wanting to move for a while. You've got friends out there. You did a live WTF one time. That's, you know... Yeah. 5 more Twitter followers, so I really am gaining.
Yeah, but aren't you happy that you didn't have to go back to Minneapolis to get broken up with?
Hush your mouth, young lady. Have you been to Minneapolis?
She's never seen Purple Rain. She doesn't know shit. Okay, Minneapolis is awesome. I apologize for the language, but I've been sitting over there enjoying everyone's success stories, and I'm like, Minneapolis is great.
No, it is great.
It is great. No, it is great. You come sometime. My mom will make you a ham sandwich.
Like
it is great. But she's in Fargo, but they'll friend. They do come to Minneapolis now when I'm there because they're so worried about my fragile state.
I love Minneapolis.
It's great. Okay, so
this
listen.
Guy, yeah.
We're going to be together, and then I was going home every month for road work to say hello and, you know, have a sexy time, right, Desi?
Yeah.
And then on a Wednesday night before I was going back to officiate my cousin's wedding. So, okay, Wednesday, we have Saturday, I'm officiating the wedding.
Yeah.
Tuesday, I'm doing my first big headlining week at Acme. Hey now. Recording an album. Wowzer, you guys, big time.
Yeah.
By the way, that is a big deal.
Don't minimize that.
No, it is. Until the Wednesday before all this happens, you get a phone call that's like, yeah, I don't think this is working out. I don't think I'm going to make it to that wedding.
And you were in town?
I wasn't even in town yet. I was here. I was in LA, not in Minneapolis. I know you guys. Oh, God. So that's why I put on a sassy wrap dress, and here I am, doing it. I had some fresh lifesavers from Pamela, and life is good. So no, it's good, but it is a little, like now I'm like, I'm single in LA. What am I gonna like get to know somebody?
Yeah, I don't know how it works. Have you tried? How long has it been since you broke up?
3 months.
How long were you with him?
4 years.
4 years?
4 years.
So you, oh man.
So like,
get on Tinder.
Yeah. I've downloaded it and then I delete it and I just do it in real life. Like I just swipe at people. I'm like, come here. I tried to get here early enough to stalk Joey McIntyre. I thought that was going to happen. He's not here, is he?
Oh, God. That was your big plan?
Oh, my God. Could you, hey.
But have you like, been lashing out to that guy? Are you talking
to
him?
No, no.
Nothing?
I'm very Scandinavian. Like, it is, it's like, I will hang on to this. And it's just going to simmer. Someday, someone's going to get an earful at Trader Joe's. That's what's going to happen. I have like breakup Tourette's. Like I'll just like for no reason I'll be like that motherfucker, and it's like while I'm boxing up the cookies, like just
out of nowhere.
Yeah, like or I went to, it manifested like I was at. I found what's that bookstore downtown that's beautiful? The last bookstore that nobody told me about. You have to tell people when they come here. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's
and
big,
I walked in
place.
And I was like, this is so beautiful. You know who would really like this? Someone whose name I'm not going to say because he doesn't deserve to get it on the podcast. That's as sassy as I get. For the listeners, I waved a finger gently and nodded my head. So I walk around and I'm like, this is so beautiful. And then I'll find a book that I think he'd like. And I'm like, this fucking asshole. And then I like hide it behind other books. As if he's going to be there. I'm like, he's not going to find it because he doesn't live here. And even if he comes to visit, it's going to be under this other shitty book. So there. So I'm angry.
Now, is it really true? Like, you grew up like this idea that like Minnesotans or Scandinavians, is it really that repressed? I mean,
it is. And I've been to Sweden, and it's the motherland. They like they just even walk with their arms crossed. Like they don't even move off this out of the way on the sidewalk because they don't even want to like acknowledge that there could be an emotion coming at them. They just.
Oh, were your parents like that?
Oh yeah, my dad. I don't think he's ever said he loves me, but like he asked me about my car all the time. So I feel. Like, and when I go back home now, they never cared about stand-up. Like, maybe, how is it going, you know? They don't know.
There's always, like, a weird concern to it.
They tell my sister all the time, I don't know. I think she should just give that up. Okay. And my mom said I need to write new material. So I was like, you've seen me twice in the last, like, 2 years.
Do you talk about them in your act?
Oh, yeah.
And they've had enough?
Well, they just say, really wish it. My dad asks, look at me, I'm going to be gross. Check this out. My dad sharted at my baptism, and on the way, not at, like, you know, didn't dip me in the water, right?
That's disgusting.
Thank you. And I tell that story a lot, then he gets kind of...
embarrassed.
Like, I wish you wouldn't say that.
That's anger for him?
Yeah, he goes, yeah, I really wish you wouldn't tell that story. Good.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah.
How many?
Two. One lives at home with my parents. I'm trying to get her to move here.
How old is she?
She's 25.
Uh-huh.
So just a couple years younger.
Mm-hmm.
not. And then my brother is a dirty, dirty hippie in Montana who just had a baby, an oopsie-daisy grandbaby, so he's the winner of all.
A what baby?
Well, oh, like he knocked a lady
what
up.
Did he name that thing?
Eris.
Hmm.
Nice. But if it, check this out. Yeah, no, he's a dirty hippie. If it was a boy, the name was going to be Graffiti. Don't do drugs, Shelby. Don't
Wait,
do drugs.
How is Eris spelled? Is it H-E-I-R-E-S-S
no,
A-R-I-S?
She's got, you have like some smart thing to say about it, don't you? You know what that name means?
No, no, I'm just curious.
A-R-I-S. It's okay, like Greek cool. something or other.
It's what
you
is
were
it?
Thinking. You're so smart.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, it'd what, be weird.
Are you going
like,
to get
yeah.
mad at Shelby now? What's happening?
I'm just jealous.
What is
She's got a good head on
what,
her shoulders.
What does the name mean?
She doesn't want a date. I just, you know.
I have like 12 fake teeth, though, so.
You have fake teeth? From what? Swimming?
No. From swimming? How would that happen with me in your fucking mind?
She just took
a bite out of the side of the pool?
When I picture swimming, I'm such a catastrophic thinker. All I do is picture myself diving and my teeth hitting the bottom of the pool.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That's where my brain goes. So when I think swimming, I just think like...
That's the grossest thing that's been said.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just how... That's just a day in the life.
It's how, very visual.
How'd you lose your teeth, Shelby?
I didn't lose. I had crowns. I have like crowns and root canals and stuff.
Okay, fine. That was.
I no, really Eris. Thought there Eris was
gonna.
Ryan.
I thought there was gonna Beautiful be some meat girl. On that somehow.
No.
Nothing. I have just crowns. There's no story. The fuck, Amber.
What?
God damn it! So what do you want to do? Just go out and fuck? What's happening?
No, I don't think so. That sounds like it's just a proposition.
Because you're not. No, I'm just saying that.
Why like, not? I'm not. You're leaning in, close talking to everybody else, right? People up in their business. Got my nice wrap dress on. Okay, I changed my mind.
Dude, come on.
Dude, I don't
you're
think
not
so.
Gonna, well, you're not gonna be able to date for a while
because no.
you're too angry and yeah. you're too emotionally hurt. And,
yeah.
So fuck the guys. Just Yay. Focus on putting together a one-person show about that guy.
Yeah, everybody wants to go to a one-person show about a woman who's been broken up with.
If you just like completely lost it, I would love it. Just like use it to purge all this Scandinavian history.
Yeah.
You can turn it around. You can like you can just erase all of that repression yeah. and just scream and cry and blood and stuff. Like
well,
a bucket
like,
of it.
Oh,
like
sure.
not, yeah.
Props.
Yep. I don't know. No.
I have been having a little more fun on stage, just yeah. being a little silly.
Because you have, like, you have an edge, right?
Yeah.
You don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but I don't like to swear on stage, so I don't give an F.
You don't swear on stage?
Not really.
Because you can't? Are you biologically
know.
Not able?
I don't like it.
Do you do it in real life?
Yeah. Sometimes.
So when you go back, like, what have you been doing out here? Where have you been working? What clubs?
Working is a relative term. Mm. No, I just did Meltdown on Wednesday night. That was super fun.
It worked out.
Yeah, it was really fun. I had this to promote, so I felt real fancy. It was good.
Yeah.
And I made some young men hold my shoe. That's my. I made cute boys in the front row hold my shoe because it's a heavy shoe, and I wanted them to feel how sensible it was. I don't think that's how you get to third base anymore.
Hold my shoe.
Yeah, it was a cute clog.
Uh-huh.
And dance goes. It's a good, sturdy shoe.
Like, did you grow up eating that fish and stuff?
Ludafisk? You yeah. bet. I'm related to Lawrence Welk.
You what? You're related to Lawrence Welk?
Yep.
Was that like a family thing that was talked
oh,
about
yeah.
a lot?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah,
that polka dancing. Oh, you betcha. That's a different accent, though. I can't do that one. But yeah, it was...
How are you related to Lawrence Welk?
My grandmother on my mother's side and him are first cousins or something like that. Or the whole town is lying to me. I don't know. Like everybody in that small town, Lytton, Strasburg, North Dakota, everybody says. And they all, and then they all say, well, I really thought we were going to get some of that money, you know, but.
The Lawrence Welk fortune.
The Lawrence Welk fortune.
That polka booty.
Yeah, that bubble money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that polyester money.
Well, I love you. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. Ida, have a cookie.
And you were very funny. It was very funny.
Oh, thank you.
And please give it up for Amber Preston. That's our show. Amber Preston, Desi Jedekin, Pam Adelon, Shelby Farrow, Whitney Cummings. Start the music. Thank you, LA Podfest. Thank you for the cupcakes. Thank you for coming. I hope you had a nice time. Good night.
Hey, folks, this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. You know all those times you've heard guests sneeze on the show? Well, actually, you don't hear any of that because we cut the sneezes out when we're editing. But take my word for it, people definitely sneeze in here, and when they do, I've got a box of Kleenex on the table right in front of them so they can use one and get right back to business. And here's what Kleenex means to me: a tissue that will hold up. We've all used those other tissues that you blow holes right through. When I see Kleenex, I know that tissue is up for the job. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.